Okay, the Gemara here mentions a rule. The Gemara has a rule that uman kaina bishvah kli, actually a machlaikis about this rule. I'd like to explain the concept and talk to you about a kasha that the greatest achrayim all tumbled about, the Tzais, Nesivis, Pnei Yeshua. The rule of uman kaina bishvah kli is that if you go to a professional and you give him a piece of gold, and you tell him, make a ring out of it. Let us say the raw gold is worth $1,000, and he turns it into a ring that's worth $1,500. The rule of uman kaina bishvah kli is that that worker now owns $500 worth of the ring. He's a bailim. Uman kaina, the uman, the worker, owns shvah kli. Now, he can't sell it to anybody else. It's al das, he'll sell it to the owner of the gold. But the rule of uman kaina bishvah kli is that he has ownership in the ring itself. In Shas, we find three major nafkaminas. One is our Gemara. If you give gold to a uman, and he turns it into a ring, the uman could be mekadesh an isha with that ring, with $500 worth of that ring, because he owns the guf of the ring itself. If he didn't own the ring, you just owed him money for his work, then you can't be mekadesh an isha with money that's owed. But since he owns the guf of the kli itself, so therefore he can be mekadesh an isha. The sugya Bava Kama is talking. We give an uman wood. The wood is worth $20. And the uman makes a table out of it. Now it's your wood. It's a custom-made table. He takes your wood. He makes the tables worth $100. And afterwards, he damages it. He mazik it. He breaks it. Does he owe you $20? Or does he owe you $100? Svara would say, it's your table, he owes you $100. He broke a $100 table. So we say, no, uman kaina bishvach kli. You gave him the wood. The worker made it into a table. The worker owns the table. Uman kaina is his table. So when he breaks it, it's still only your $20 worth of wood. The other $80 is what uman, the uman was kaina bishvach kli. He owns the table. What? So he owned 80 of the table. So he only pays you 20. So that's the case. The third case, it mostly get to all of us. What?
You would have to give the customer would have to pay $80 anyway.
Well, normally if he increases the value by 80, you're not paying him 80. You're paying him for his worth
saying,
maybe $40.
Anyway, I'm saying. He's still only have
I understand, but there's an increased value which is greater than the salary. If you usually pay someone to improve something, you don't pay him the whole improvement.
Yeah.
If you prepaid him, so then there's no woman kind of bishvakli if you prepaid him. Once he pays him, according to the man, the woman kind of bishvakli, he's purchasing the keli from him. Ahead of time.
No, even after.
It's too late.
Why?
Because the person already did the damage and owes you whatever he owes you. You can't retroactively change it. Yeah. The third that's most nageya to us has to do with tefilas kelim. Let's say you have a company, a Hatzarfim or some other gold company, silver company, and they go to China and they order bechers to be made. And it could be the becher is stamped Hatzarfim. It's stamped by that. So you go to the store, you buy the becher. You assume, I don't have to title it, a Jew made it. They made it. If you hold uman kaina bishvach kli, which we paskin, that means that when the Chinaman made the keli, even if the company gave him the gold, some they did, they ordered the gold, they ordered the silver, and they gave it to him and he made it. Uman kaina bishvach kli means that when the Chinaman makes the becher, he owns roiv at a becher. That whatever, I shouldn't say roiv, it could be the silver's worth more, but he owns a part of the becher.
But he's paid for the salary.
If he's prepaid for the salary, so I'll explain that in a second. Give me a minute. Give me a minute, I'll explain what you're saying. So Uma Kaina Bishvakli would mean that he's kind of chelik in the keli, and you would have to tovel it. When you get the becher, you would have to tovel it. Now, it's true, it depends what the financial arrangement is. If you're paying him by the hour, let's say the Jew owns a factory, and you have workers that get paid by the hour. So the workers are not kind of chelik in the keli. They get an hourly salary, and they're not kind of chelik in the keli. But if you go to a Chinese plant and you order bechers, and you only pay him when you get the becher. If he gives you 100 bechers, you pay for the 100 bechers. 150, you give 150. It's like when a pretzel, Pashkis or Levers, they go to a pretzel company. And they go, there's one big generic national pretzel company somewhere in Pennsylvania, and they order pretzels. So do you have to take challah from the dough? It depends. If it's their dough and they have workers, so it's chayv and challah. That's not the way it works. The way it works is they order pretzels and they get the cases of pretzel. Whatever cases they get, they pay for. So there, it belongs to the ummah. It belongs to the guy. Now, in the case of challah, it's better it belongs to the guy. The dough belongs to the guy. The pretzels belong to the guy. It's pata from challah. In the case of Tevelin Kalim, it's the reverse. If it belongs to the guy, then you become chayiv in Tevelin the Kalim. When you buy it, the Uman Kaina, if your arrangement in China is they have to make it and you pay them for the goods that you get, so then the Uman is Kaina Bishvakli, and then you chayiv in Tevelin. If you pay based on what you get, it depends. You know what they do. I don't know what they do. If you send the metal and you pay for the work, then there's no mekayim b'shvakli. If you pay not by the hour, if you pay like a contractor, you know, if you don't pay by the hour, you just pay for every item you get. You're going to give him whatever $100, $1,000 for each item. Then there's mekayim b'shvakli. Pay for labor means you pay him for the work he does. If he works for 2 hours, you pay him this much. You pay him for 3 hours, you pay him this much. If you pay like a contractor for the item, then he's kaina. And when you get it, you have to title it. That's a Shulchan Aruch.
What? If you have a subcontractor, who has the ownership?
The way to be able to really tell is the question is a question of ownership until you get it. In halacha, one of the ways to tell is if it gets damaged by einus, whether you have to pay. By contractors, you don't have to pay. If you go to a pretzel company, you order pretzels, and they make it in the Pashka's bags, Pashka's boxes, but they don't deliver it to you. On the way to you, it got damaged, it's their loss. Because they're contractors, you pay for the goods. Now, if you pay for the labor, then it's your loss. Anyway, this is the sugya. What? Yes, clearly. It says Rosh Hashanah Aruch by Tefilas Kehillah. Now, there's a big kasha, like I told you, big. I mean that the Gedolei Achrayim Tumul, Ktzais, Nesivis, Pnei Yeshua, and the Brisker Rav, four that I mentioned here, they tumul over the following kasha. If Uman Kaina Bishvakli, when you give paper and ink to a cipher in order to write a Shtar Kedushin or a Shtar Gittin, that means the cipher is kind of, he takes paper, he takes ink, and he fashions a get out of it. What does that mean? That means that umakayne bishvakli, it's his get. And now, he gives it to you, and whoever's giving the get, you have to own the get. You have to own the shtar kedushin. Any shtar kinyan you have to own. So it's no problem, he's makna to you. The kasha they ask, what? If he messes it up, you don't get paid. What do? If you pay someone to write again, he messes it up, he has to write a second one, you don't pay him double. It is his. That's why if you mess up, you don't pay him for his work. You're not paying him by the hour. You're paying him for the job.
He has to give you
So the kasha is, how could there be a sugya in Gittin, a mishnah and a sugya? If a cotton is kosher to write a get, the whole sugya talks, if a cotton is capable of writing lishma, how could a cotton ever write a get? If the cotton writes the get, then it's his get. A cotton can't be maknit. Can't be maknit to anybody. So what's the sugya? Peshua, yes, it's the Eretz Yisrael. And it can't be a shliach. Cotton can't be a shliach. And a cotton is kind of bishvakli. He improves it. A cotton can be kind of, it just can't be maknit.
Why can't you just pay anybody
out? A normal case of the Mishnah should say a cotton can't do it because it can't be maknit. That's the normal case. What? So you could have this. It's a kasha in the yeshiva. We always ask, why didn't they answer? He wrote it 2 days before his bar mitzvah, and a day later he became bar mitzvah and he was maknit. Probably the answer is that the Mishnah should say so. It talks about whether a cotton is kasha. It should say if he'll become a gog, he'll be maknit. Don't say it's a star mishnah. You're right. So this is it's a major kasher on the sugya, and ad kedei kach the ktsais, because of this kasher, it's one of the famous ktsaisin who says something that doesn't stem with the gemaras. Ktsais says no, umar kind of mishvakli doesn't mean he owns it. He owns it b'toris mashkin. It's sort of a mashkin for the tashlum, and he has a lien on it. When it says Uman kaina means he has a lien on it. If so, why do you have to tivel it if he only has a lien? So he's matzik. If so, why can't you kind of shenisha? But ktsais, it's one of the sort of famous ktsais in the yeshiva where he goes out on a limb. He says you're not mamish kaina. It's only a mashkin. Because this kasha bothers him. From all the terutzim between the ktsais and the sivus and the Yeshua, there's no Geshmak is satisfying teretz to this kasha, how it could be umar kaina bishvakli. The Brisker Rav here talks about Betzalel. When Betzalel made the Orin, if he was a cotton, it would be a problem, because then Betzalel was kind of the Orin, and he can't be makhted to Klal Yisrael. He can't own it, it's a Shel Tzibur. He can't own it. Even if he gets paid, but he can't, he's a cotton. If he would be a cotton, he can't be makhted. Biskarov says, he brings here that Bemedjushisa Bitzal Hoyayish, that he was bar mitzvah. So Biskarov says, why do you have to tell me he's bar mitzvah? He says, if it wouldn't be bar mitzvah, then he can't be maknit. So the kasha and the Biskarov is saying that if Bitzal made the Orin, he was a cotton, he can't be maknit. So how does the Biskarov explain when a cotton writes a get, how's he maknit? If you hold any of the terutzim, it should answer the Orin also. So this is the tumbling that took place. What? No, a cotton is kind of automatically, right? A cotton that does a cheres makne, it works by cotton. Well, one kind of shvakli, goyim anyway could be kind of things. Well, the way we understand is, in being a contractor, that's the arrangement. That's the understood arrangement, I guess. The later generation Achrayim, three or four of them came up with a Gevaldige Teretz on the Kasha. The Aruch HaShulchan by Tilchus Tfilas Kelim, the Devar Chaim and the Tshuva, and the Arig Yantuf, I think is one more. They all came with a new Teretz on what the 100, 200 years before them they tumbled. They say something really good. Just to give you a marshal for their Teretz, I'll tell you different. There's an Igris Maisha. Rabbi Chin was a Rav in McKeesport when Kennedy was assassinated. So all of the religious institutions got together, chipped in, and made a gigantic statue of Kennedy, like a 20-foot statue of Kennedy for the city. So Rabbi Chin asked Rabbi Moshe whether we could chip in. It's also for us to make statues of people. So whether the Jewish community has a right to chip in, he said, there's a tzairach, all the other places are chipping in. So Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva, he writes in Bichin, he says, you can give him money. A 20-foot statue of Kennedy is not worth anything. He says, it costs money to make it, but if you have it, what are you going to do with it? Nobody's going to pay you for it. He says, it has no value. It's something that has, it can't be used for anything. It's like, it's a custom-made thing that if you want it, you pay for it. But it has no market value. What are you going to do with a 20-foot statue of Kennedy? Now, what Ramesh is writing about Kennedy, I mentioned it, Derek Marshall, these Gedolim write about a get that's written by a cotton that's owned by the cotton. It has no use. It's damaged. You take a perfectly good piece of paper and you write on it a get. It becomes the cotton's get. What's he going to do with it? It has no value. So they say it can't be. A woman normally is kind of. A gadol writes a get, so it has value. It could be used. He could be marketed to someone to use. But a cotton that writes a get, it's just damaging the paper. The woman can't be kind of something where by being kind of it becomes valueless. It has no value. So since if the cotton would be kind of the get by writing it, it would have zero value. Because it's like a self-destruct of the get itself. Because what can you do with it? You're not really, because normally you have to write a day on the get, you have to write the date. I don't know, you know, it's not. And also he has to hope and pray that when he gets older they still want to get divorced and that they didn't get divorced in the interim. Usually, in the meantime, they get someone else to write it. So what?
Put it on Kennedy's statue.
Okay, very good. It's an ingenious terrorist. What?
Why should the
gadol
have to be
magnet? It's not worth it. Since the gadol is able to be magnet, so if he writes again, he knows people want it, it has value. But the cotton, it's inherent in the rule itself that if you're gonna write the get and it's gonna become yours, it's gonna become valueless. So Mamela, it doesn't become yours. You only kind it if there's a benefit in being kind it. Anyway, that's their teretz on the kasha. But anytime you think about Umar kind of Bishvah Kli, this sugya is sort of the sugya of how he's kind of cut this kind is the sort of the sugya that comes to mind. Good Shabbos next week in Anav Chanukah, we will have Mishmar, but everybody has to bring a guest. The boys out of town will come in, make sure that they come as well. Good Shabbos.